Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage. All things Mississippi State and Ole Miss, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Last podcast for 2016, Logan, the new year, man. It's going to be here Sunday morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm trying to keep up with what day it is. I think I wrote my story last night and said it was still Wednesday. But it's you know, being on the road for 6 days and then coming back and jumping straight into work, it's got my days thrown off. But I know that it's Friday today. We're recording this on Friday. You know, like I said, we sort of recorded on a Thursday or a Friday, you know, just depending on what our schedules are for that particular week. And, right now I'm having trouble figuring out what day it is, but maybe by the weekend I can start fresh next week and get a clue what day and what year that it is.
Well, it is Friday, and there were a couple of basketball games last night, Ole Miss in Kentucky and Mississippi State and Missouri, Kansas City. We're going to talk about those in a little bit. We'll have some football to talk about as well. It has been a challenge to figure out what day it is, Logan. It happens that way when Christmas is on a Sunday, I think, as it was this year. And I've been out of town and doing different things with family, with some holidays that we had to get off the book. It's use them or lose them, man, and those holidays accumulate for this time of year when you're usually working them the other times of the year. So that's what I've been doing. Folks, before we move on, want to remind you about some other podcasts from the Daily Journal to be on the lookout for. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, coming to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And check out Prep Rally for all things high school sports with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. Brad Locke sitting in there as well. That's every Thursday. And Logan and I are here with you Thursday or Friday, depending on what MSU and Ole Miss are doing. And Logan, let's talk football. I'll come back. I want to talk about these coordinators a little bit again at Ole Miss, these hires made right before the Christmas break. I want to specifically hit on Wesley McGriff and what he can bring to the Ole Miss defense next year. But tell us about the Bulldogs and their bowl game as we record, still the only conference team with a bowl win.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising. It was a game, you know, it was an early Monday morning kickoff, 10:30 Mississippi time down there. You know, not a real big crowd down there at St. Pete in the, Tropicana Field where the Rays play. Just wasn't a huge crowd there. You know, it was a baseball stadium, dome. You know, it's just a different feel than you normally get from a college football game. I think the total attendance was around 15,000, probably half of those were Miami of Ohio fans. Mississippi State, it was surprising that the way they played in that game, because the 2 weeks of practice leading up into that game, you saw guys flying around. We're really enthusiastic about going down to Florida, and I was actually able to watch two practices down there in Florida. Practice was open for an hour apiece the first 2 days that they were down there. It seemed like really good practices. You know, guys were really attentive, and they were practicing early in the morning down there too. And you know, I was really surprised with how flat the team came out and played against Miami of Ohio. They looked just disinterested in even being there. It was like they were still out there on the beach, which they had been that, the day before. And, I don't know. It's just they didn't play to the level that they were capable of playing. Certainly not didn't play like they did in that last game against Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. Just didn't have that same fire, that same drive and enthusiasm to be out there. But somehow got the job done. It came down to special teams. Mississippi State blocked an extra point early in that game in the first half. And Weston Graves, who's been very sporadic all season, hadn't been very dependable at all down the stretch, hits a go-ahead field goal to put Mississippi State ahead by a point in the fourth quarter. Mississippi State trailed the first three quarters of that ball game They finally get the lead early in the fourth quarter, and Miami of Ohio drives down with about 5 seconds left to go in the ball game, and Mississippi State blocks a field goal again, but a field goal that would have essentially won that ball game. They get the block on the final play of the game, and finally something goes right on the last play of the game. Mississippi State lost three games on the final play of the game during the regular season. Something finally goes right in the postseason for them, and they win 17-16. But they were celebrating the win, and obviously they should have played a lot better. I mean, I thought Mississippi State would win by at least two or three touchdowns in that ball game. Miami of Ohio just didn't have the athletes that Mississippi State did on paper, and when those athletes don't give maximum effort, things get even. And you could tell that Miami of Ohio was hungry and excited to be there. And the same kind of situation happened in Mississippi State a few years ago down in the Gator Bowl. Northwestern was excited to be in that bowl game. Mississippi State was, and Northwestern took it to them. And it's kind of the same situation this year. Just Mississippi State had the SEC bodies and, lucked out and made a couple of plays on special teams, and that proved to be the difference in the ball game. Nick Fitzgerald had a really good ball game, was the MVP of that game, had another 142 yards on the ground and a couple of touchdowns. Didn't have a great day passing the ball. A lot of that wasn't his fault. A lot of that, the receivers were just dropping balls left and right. Even defendable guys like Fred Ross and Donald Gray, Keith Mixon, guys that he had depended on all year, just dropping passes. But win's a win. They go into the offseason, with a 6-7 season. They've got a little bit to build on, a lot of guys coming back. They ended up losing one coach, Parrish, and I'll go ahead and talk about this and lead into your coaching changes at Ole Miss. But Brian Johnson left the day after the bowl game. So Mississippi State's out there looking for a quarterback's coach. Brian Johnson had been with Dan Mullen for the last three seasons at Mississippi State, had, had an integral part in developing Dak Prescott and Nick Fitzgerald. Mississippi State lost a lot of quarterbacks. Damian Williams is gone. Nick Tiano is now gone. Elijah Staley left earlier this season. So it's going to be Nick Fitzgerald and Keaton Thompson, who enrolled he's going to enroll in January. He actually practiced one of the bowl practices. So one new quarterback in this spring, and going to have a new quarterback's coach. So Mississippi State's still out there, haven't made that hire yet. So we'll have to see which direction Dan Mullen goes. But at the end of the day, Dan Mullen is kind of known as the quarterback guru. So he's going to be very hands-on with his quarterbacks regardless.
Yeah, Logan, when State lined up for that field goal, or when Miami lined up to kick that field goal for the win, I thought State had a good chance to block that. It just looked like they were getting pressure on those kicks throughout the game. And obviously there was that blocked PAT earlier. But, they got really good penetration there and made a big play. Before we get into the coaching change that we referenced, and we're going to talk a little bit about Wesley McGriff and what he might bring to the Ole Miss defense next year, tell us a little bit, Logan, are you hearing anything more on this vandalism at the MSU campus? Now, that came out, I was out of town again at a family gathering, and I look on social media and I see the stadium and other things spray painted. It appears to be an Ole Miss fan, but sometimes you just don't know. But Ole Miss supportive vandalism there, it looks like, with what was painted on the stadium and whatnot. Are you hearing anything more on that?
I haven't, and of course I haven't really been in town much either. I was out of town when that occurred too. I was trying to get all my Christmas out of the way since I was going to be on the road for Christmas holidays. My family was doing a little Christmas stuff early when all that happened. I wasn't even in Starkville at the time, and haven't been as sorrowful much since it happened. I've been on the road in Florida and just got back a couple nights ago, and have had basketball games for the last 2 days. So haven't really heard anything. I think Hottie Toddy was spray painted up there. Go Rebs and Fail State was spray painted on there. I mean, I've driven by the stadium since all that has happened, and obviously they removed that just several hours after the incident took place. They had everything cleaned up, and it looks like it never even happened. But I know that they were going to review some security cameras outside of the stadium, now whether those security cameras were good enough to see, who the perpetrator was or not, I don't know. But they think it happened at night, so I don't know if that affects how well they were able to see whoever did that. But obviously, pretty disgusting to see something like that happen.
You know, I would like to see both of the schools come out and just make a strong united stance against this sort of thing, because it's going to happen again. It's going to be an escalating thing, and it's going to be, one incident is going to encourage someone to retaliate and that sort of thing. And you know, there was a smaller incident like this when MSU fans apparently vandalized the Chucky Mullins road sign after Ole Miss had changed the name of Coliseum Drive. And, and they now have the sign out there that says Chucky Mullins Drive. This kind of thing is only going to grow. And I'd really like to see the schools come out and say, look, we're going to relentlessly pursue this. We're going to find those responsible. And when we do, we're going to take action and hold them accountable. And maybe that means disassociating these fans from the schools like you would a rogue booster like that. That's been done
right
before. I would like to see them make that kind of statement. Logan, that both of these schools have come so far in facilities to see this kind of thing go on. And there are just really, really great facilities at both of our SEC schools right now, with what's been done at the football stadiums, the basketball and baseball venues as well. I mean, the first thing I thought about when I saw that was, they better start hanging tarps all over the pavilion at Ole Miss. Or, they better post a guard outside the north end zone.
Yeah, you don't need anybody poisoning trees out there in the Grove. I mean, it doesn't
right.
need to escalate to that. I mean, I agree with you. And I saw where Ole Miss, Ross Bjork came out and publicly stated, how disgusted he was with it, and hopes that Mississippi State's able to find whoever was involved with this and take care of the matter. So I was encouraged to see that. And I do think, both ADs and both schools together, we'll try to, make this end right here. You don't need it, like you said, don't need it to escalate at all.
Well, getting back on the field a little bit, let's talk about Ole Miss. What can they expect defensively next season with Wesley McGriff as coordinator? It's be the first time, really, that McGriff has been a defensive coordinator, certainly the first time at this level. You have to go back to the mid-1990s when he was at Division II Kentucky State to find defensive coordinator on his resume. However, his fingerprints have been on successful defenses before, including this season as the secondary coach at Auburn. The Tigers ranking fifth nationally right now in scoring defense, fourth in red zone defense, and they were third in the SEC and number 11 nationally in rushing defense. And McGriff's unit, the secondary, third in the SEC and number 15 nationally in passing efficiency defense. So he's been a part of very successful defenses before. And when they had the conference call with McGriff and the new offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, you heard McGriff at one point say, hey, this feels great. This is definitely in line with my career path. So he has been looking for this opportunity. He believes it's time for him to coordinate his own defense. And if McGriff is going to keep that path, that career path, trending upward, he's going to have to find out how to get more out of young players, how to get more production from guys in his area, the secondary. The Rebels had a freshman at both the starter and the number one backup at strong safety, and they had a sophomore at free safety, and communication issues were evident in the secondary throughout the season, even late in the season, and that led to a lot of explosive plays allowed. And fixing the secondary alone won't fix the defense. Really, the glaring problem for Ole Miss was at linebacker. you know, just really a lot of inconsistency there. And, you know, and that was with a 4-2-5 scheme that put only two linebackers on the field. And at those two linebacker positions, the middle linebacker and the outside spot, there were four different players to make starts at both of those positions. The Rebels struggled with run fits and pass coverage all season long. Those were common themes of any Tuesday or Wednesday media gathering. You would hear coaches and players talk about the struggles they had in those areas. Now one of the hires on this Ole Miss staff is Bradley Dale Pavito, coming over from LSU, a longtime SEC assistant coach. He's had two stints at LSU, and you know, linebackers are his specialty. He's coached a lot of areas on defense, but he spent most of his time with linebackers, and he's also a very well-known and respected recruiter. You know, the Rebels picked up a junior college linebacker at the mid-year signing date, and a high school recruit is committed, but there's nothing in this class right now that screams next big thing. So, you know, they're going to have to work with what they have and get better with the players coming back. In addition to that, McGriff will run a base 4-3 alignment, which will put another linebacker on the field. So you're getting even thinner at a place where you didn't have a lot of depth. So I just think some position changes will have to occur, and McGriff kind of alluded to that. He says, quote, "I have a lot of ideas from my past experiences in terms of what we'll do, but you have to formulate a plan based on the talent in the room." So Freeze, when he talked about these new coordinators, talked about energy and vision, and he's getting that with McGriff. But results are still to be determined, TBD, and if they're going to be better. And there's a feeling, Logan, that Ole Miss defensively next year will be better simply because it can't be any worse. I mean, this group was number 66 nationally in passing efficiency defense, but in every other major category, they ranked 100 or lower. You know, couldn't stop the run. They weren't good in the red zone. Gave up big plays, just lots of issues. If they're going to get better, they're going to have to get better with the players that are coming back, and that's going to mean some organization and some energy, and we'll see what Wesley McGriff can bring to Ole Miss defensively in his first season in 2017. Shifting gears, let's talk basketball a little bit. Logan, I always like to see Missouri-Kansas City on the schedule because I just think it's fun to cover a team called the Kangaroos. So
I agree.
What did you see last night from the Roos?
Well, I didn't get to see much of them from last year. They did meet Mississippi State in Kansas City last year. It was a close, tight ball game in there. Kansas City won that game. But it was a different story last night. Mississippi State played really, really well. They shot 50%. On the night, Quindary Weatherspoon had a huge night, especially in the first half. He hit a lot of threes early on in that ballgame. Finished with 25 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. It was actually a career high, 4 assists. He was 2 points off his career high points-wise. Just had a good all-around game. He was 5 of 8 from 3-point range. Just really had it dialed in. And, you know, it's kind of as he goes, Mississippi State goes. Obviously, you know, coming back from that wrist injury, he's still dealing with that, and it's going to be something he has to deal with all season. But Mississippi State closed out the month of December really well. They won their last 3 ball games. They went 5-1 during the month of December. The only loss that they had was that first game coming out of finals. They lost by 2 to East Tennessee State. But Mississippi State wraps up the non-conference 9-3, which is obviously the best season Mississippi State's had in the last 5 years as far as non-conference goes. You know, they're playing really good basketball right now. But the thing is, Parrish, they're just so young. I mean, they're out of 351 Division I teams, Mississippi State is 351st as far as experience out on the floor. So they're just a young team that's learning, getting better. And there's some head scratchers. You know, they're going to win some games that they shouldn't. They're going to lose some games that they should. It's just part of having a young basketball team. You really don't know what's going to be out there on the floor, but you know, Ben Howland's got those guys ready to play on most nights. And, you know, last night against Missouri, Kansas City, they played really, really well, held Missouri, Kansas City to 28.3% shooting on the night, only 19.2% from 3-point range. So Mississippi State did a really good job defensively last night and had a really good night offensively as well. Tyson Carter had 11 points, hit 3 threes himself, but he kind of spread the scoring around from there. You know, everybody kind of chipped in and contributed to the win. And, you know, only one upperclassman on the whole team. He's kind of the guy that runs the show, and that's IJ Reddy. He's the only, he's a senior, but, you know, the only guy that has more than 1 year of experience out there. So, he's kind of leading the show and, you know, he's doing a good job distributing the basketball. Had 5 assists, last night. And, you know, he can score when he wants to, but he's kind of looking to create things for his other, for his teammates out on the field, only, you know, score when he has to. And that's kind of what you want to see from your point guard. And, you know, luckily Mississippi State does have experience at that position. And, you know, they're getting those freshmen ready to start SEC play. They open up at home against Alabama on Tuesday at 7:30. So they'll find out quickly, you know, what they've got, because they've got Alabama, then they have to go on the road to LSU and then to Arkansas. So 2 of the first 3 games will be on the road. So Mississippi State will find out real quick what they have as far as, you know, for SEC play.
Well, Logan, I saw a young team last night, man. I don't think, you know, Kentucky, they never say youth is an excuse, man. They just throw all those freshmen out there and they just keep rolling.
Yeah, those freshmen are a little different than the freshmen that Mississippi State has.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you
a little
what,
bit different talent level.
Yeah, Kentucky was making its first trip to the Pavilion last night, but they look like they need to be playing in some NBA arenas, man, instead of the Pavilion or the Hump. They win 99-76. It really wasn't that close. Kentucky was halfway to 120 in the first half. Just too fast, too athletic for Ole Miss last night at the Pavilion. Put 60 on the Rebels in 20 minutes, 24 of those coming from freshman guard Malik Monk, 1 of 4 freshmen starting in the lineup. Monk was 9 for 12 from the floor, 3 for 4 from 3 in the first 20 minutes. He finished 11 for 16 and 5 for 7 from 3. John Calipari, the Kentucky coach, had been after him to put the ball on the floor more and get to the rim, and he did that too. The guy really looked like a star, and I know you've heard that name, and if you wonder what all the fuss is about, it's legit, man. He only had 1 assist. They need him to shoot and score. He'd have had more assists if his teammates had been ready for some of his passes. You know, he was just that kind of flashy with the ball. You know, just really, really smooth and athletic. And as always the case with Kentucky, it wasn't about only one player. Edris Adebayo, the guy they call Bam, another freshman. Their big man, 25 points, 12 for 19 shooting. They would throw it over the top of the Ole Miss zone and score with lobs inside. And the Cats had a triple-double from their veteran, sophomore guard Isaiah Briscoe, 19 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds. Logan, you know, we talk about youth on teams. Calipari just every year obliterates the idea that new players need time to adjust. You know, that adjustment period was a little bit of a talking point for Kentucky's media last night, some of the questions that they had, but it's nothing like I see every year, this one included, when we talk about transfers at Ole Miss needing time to acclimate and get adjusted to new surroundings. These Kentucky recruits are elite players every year, and they come in and they produce, and Calipari puts them in the right positions. And this bunch seems to have a really good chemistry about itself. It's a really formidable team, and looks like, once again, the class of the SEC. Ole Miss got a double-double from Sebastian Saiz last night, 23 points and 13 rebounds. He was 3 for 7 from three-point range. That's more threes than they want Saiz taking. But Kentucky put so much pressure on the Ole Miss guards out front that they couldn't throw it in to Saiz, and he was forced outside, and you know, he's really improved his perimeter game, and he knocks down those shots every now and then, and that's where a lot of his points came from last night. We've talked about the speed and athleticism of those Kentucky guards, and they really forced Cullen Neal to struggle. The transfer from New Mexico, Ole Miss's, really Ole Miss's lead guard right now. He's a good ball handler, a good player, savvy, makes good decisions, but he couldn't match the athleticism that he saw last night. He couldn't get around his man. He couldn't drive past him. He couldn't pass or shoot. He finished with no points and four turnovers in 17 minutes. He had foul trouble. He got off only one shot and was 0-for-1 from the floor for the game. This is a guy averaging about 12 points. And Cullen Neal's frustration, he could really kind of sum it up on one trip down the floor with about 11 minutes left in the first half. You know, he's being guarded one-on-one. He's dribbling. He's on the right side of the key. And he kind of bumped his man with his shoulder one time trying to make a move and get around him. And, you know, and he couldn't do it, couldn't create any space. And then he lowered that shoulder again, and he got away with it the first time but not the second. And, you know, it just kind of illustrated his frustration, you know, and that was his third foul coming early in the game. So just you know, really not a good night for Ole Miss. The only other bright spot I saw from the Rebels offensively was DeAndre Burnett, the Miami transfer. He really, you know, had been struggling to shoot a good percentage, and this is somebody whose game is slashing and penetrating and getting to the rim, and he was able to do those things, but he wasn't able to finish at the rim. He did a much better job of that last night. 7-for-15 from the floor, and he was really 7-for-12 in the lane because he was 0-for-3 from the arc, and he usually shoots better from three-point range than he did last night. But, you know, big for Ole Miss to see him getting to the rim and scoring, because that will make a difference in some other SEC games. It did not make a difference against Kentucky, and you mentioned the road schedule early on for Mississippi State. Ole Miss has that challenge as well right now, and unless they show themselves to be a good road team in the coming week, they could start out 0-3 in conference play. They go to Florida Tuesday and then to Auburn, an improved Auburn team, even though Auburn did just lose at home to Georgia. Ole Miss at Auburn next Saturday. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us and being a part of the program today. Want to remind you of some other podcasts as well. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi. That comes to you 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And be sure to check out Prep Rally for your high school sports coverage with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps, coming to you every Wednesday, and Logan and I will be back with you late next week, Thursday or Friday, schedules permitting. We'll see how all that plays out, and we'll be back with you with another edition of Double Coverage.